I think I said this earlier during the announcements, but the actual planning commission form, if you want to read up on what's going on, are in the back on the table as well, plus the announcement in the bulletin. So I encourage you to pick one of those up. If you do decide to do an email or send something to your county commissioner, you can refer to the case number that is on this document. That way they know what you are speaking formally to. And so just be in prayer as well as we continue this battle, and as we deacons and other churches and myself are involved in this, just be praying, because it will take God's intervention. On another note, I want to say thank you to everyone for last Sunday, where you didn't roast me like you did this morning, William Perry, but but also the gifts, and you know who you are. You placed them on my desk or handed them to me, and I just want to say thank you for all the gifts, the presentation that was done. Who would have known that Billy Shelton could have picked out such a nice gift? And it was a blessing. Actually, it was Judy, and that's why it was a nice gift. But we thank you, we appreciate you, and you know, don't feel like you got to celebrate us every year. You can do it every month, every 3 months, 6 months, however you feel fit. Every week. Thank you, Owen, because we would like to have a nice meal every week after Sunday, wouldn't we? And the only problem is those of you who, if we keep having these meals, I'm going to have to get some bigger pants. And I know I've already grown a size or two since I've been here. But pies keep, you know, they'll flow into the house. And I've got a sweet tooth for pie. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. We are going to camp out here in the beginning. Here we have an introduction, and then it moves on to the Lord's Prayer for the next, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. And so the title of this series is going to be How to Pray. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, we talk a lot about prayer. Well, guess what? The Bible talks a lot about prayer. So if we're going to look at the whole of Scripture, then we are going to look at prayer often. We did it in our study of James when we went through that book. We did it in the book of Philippians. We think about James being the brother of Jesus, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, talking about prayer. Well, where do you think that they got the incentive to talk about prayer? First of all, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we see also here that Jesus emphasizes prayer. He doesn't say if you pray. He says when you pray. Now, the disciples understood the significance of prayer. If you go and look at the parallel passage of this, or another corresponding teaching of this section, you can go to the book of Luke, and you'll see that the disciples actually came to Jesus and said, "Please teach us to pray." And how does he teach them to pray? He goes into the Lord's Prayer in order to instruct them. Prayer is a spiritual discipline that is difficult. But we are not left to our own knowledge. We are not left to our own resources. God knows how difficult it is to pray. Remember at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so prayer for us does not, I don't believe, come naturally. It is something that we have to learn and work at, practice it, whether it's in our private life or in our public prayer life. So my question here to you is this: will you listen to what the Lord has to say today? Prayerlessness is permeating the church, and it's leading to a dead church. I quote one author, "A deaf church is a dead church." That's an unalterable principle. God quickens, feeds, inspires, and guides his people by his word. The president of the seminary where I attended, Southern Theological Seminary, his name's R. Albert Mohler. How would you like to go with that. I need a first initial. That tells you that you've made it. Like I need to go by. I won't tell you my middle name. My middle initial's H for hunk, but or Hulk. I don't know which one is. But you know how they, if you're very professional, it's S period, then your middle name, and then I see it at the law firm all the time. So R. Albert Mohler, he says this about prayer. In short, prayer discloses much about us. It discloses our assumptions and convictions. It discloses our view of God and of ourselves. It discloses our priorities and our assumptions about God's priorities. It discloses our doctrines of God, man, sin, redemption, the world, and a host of other theological matters. If we really want to know what a person believes, we should listen to them pray. Let me repeat that. If we really want to know what a person believes, we should listen to them pray. So today, let's ask God, before we even open and read His Word, that He will give us insight to what He wants us to learn today and to apply today when it comes to prayer. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we need Your help. You are the sovereign God of the universe. You have given us Your Word. It is breathed from Your very mouth. And Lord, we need to learn and apply. We need to put into practice what we learn today. And we cannot do that in our own strength. We can only do that by the power of the Spirit. And we are asking You today to give us that power. Fill us with Your Spirit. Make us teachable today. Soften our hearts, O Lord. Let them not be hard and resistant to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word and read Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. May God bless the reading of His words. You may be seated this morning. As we come to this text, remember the very first verse of chapter 6 is the theme of the following 18 verses. What does Jesus say in verse 1? Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Well, what were the Pharisees doing? The Pharisees liked to pray in the synagogue. They like to pray publicly and on the street corner so that they could be seen by others and praised by others for being spiritual. Remember, last week this dealt with giving, right? They wanted to be seen in how they gave to the Lord. They wanted to be recognized and praised by others. Well, now He moves to the topic of prayer. Jesus is saying that we need to give glory to God when it comes to giving, when it comes to prayer. We are not to do it to be seen by others. And so some have taken this text as they've applied it and looked at it and said, well, that means we should never pray in public. Well, I don't think that's what's being said here. What is being said here is that we do not need to pray for the purpose of being seen and praised by others. We don't need to be hypocrites like we're praying in public, but we're not praying in private. Are you following me there? A hypocrite, as John MacArthur says, the word had its origins in Greek theater, describing a character who wore a mask. The term is used in the New Testament, normally described an unregenerate person who was self-deceived. R.C. Sproul talks about that it is self-seeking and even deceived. That is what the meaning of hypocrite is. Hypocrites are self-deceived. They're unaware of their own hypocrisy. It is most likely that the Pharisees who were standing and giving these long-winded prayers before others did not even have a personal relationship with God by praying to Him in private. They just wanted to practice their own self-righteousness. Their righteousness was not from Christ. Remember, Jesus says, if your righteousness does not surpass the Sadducees and the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, what does he mean there? We must have the righteousness of Christ. It's not self-righteousness that's going to get us into heaven. Now, Jesus, as I said earlier, teaches that we are to give, pray, fast for his glory, not our own. That's right. Fasting is going to be coming up here in a little while. We're going to camp out in prayer, but then we're going to fasting. And for Southern Baptists, who are the Church of the Covered Dish, this is a spiritual discipline that we know nothing about. The only time we hear about fasting is if we've got to have a medical test, maybe a colonoscopy or something of that nature, where we get to suck the little popsicles and pray that God could just take us home before we get through the prep. But anyway, listen to me. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. All of it is to be done for the glory of God. Prayer is not to be self-centered. It is not to be simply a formality. It demonstrates true, authentic relationship. And private prayer is our engine as Christians. It feeds public prayer, and the outpouring of a private prayer life will be seen in the public prayer life of the church when it gathers together. So Jesus is saying here, he's not telling us just to pray privately or just pray publicly. We're to pray privately and publicly. You know, churches are to have prayer meetings. Gene handed me a little thing that was Tom's this morning that talked, is a handout, what was it, from the late 1800s, early 1900s, on topics for prayer services. The church is to gather together in corporate prayer. And we find it so difficult to come together in corporate prayer. It can seem so awkward, even for the pastor. It can seem awkward to me as we gather together. But could it be awkward? Could it be that we're not of one spirit and one mind because we don't have a private prayer life? If we're not praying privately and in secret to the Father, how in the world do we think we're going to come together and pray as one body publicly? We must practice praying too. I know that this is, you probably can believe this, but in anything that you are going to do and to develop as a discipline and a lifestyle and a practice, you've got to put it into practice. I mean, as far as you got to do it in order to learn how to do it. And listen, you think I'm a pitiful preacher now, you should have seen me about 18 years ago. Okay? You have to do it. You have to keep doing it. That's how you learn how to do it better. It is Jerry Bridges who says, one of the banes of present-day evangelical Christianity is the way we sit every week under the teaching of God's Word or even private devotions and perhaps participate in a Bible study group without a serious intent to obey the truth we learn. God had a message through the prophet Ezekiel. Listen to what he says in Ezekiel 33, verses 31, 32, as he is addressing Israel. Ezekiel 33, verses 31, 32. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. Let me say that again. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act, their heart is set on their gain. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. Let us not be a people that hear what the Lord says and then we're not willing to do it. That demonstrates a hardness of heart. That demonstrates something that is broken in your relationship with God. If we are saying we are disciples of Jesus Christ, guess what? That means He's our teacher. We follow Him. When He says, you know, drop everything, come and follow me, that's what we are to do. So when it comes to prayer, we have to, even if it is awkward in the beginning, we need to pray to God. My challenge to you is to go home today and start praying if you're not praying. I don't care if it's 3 minutes. Go home, pray. Then come here and pray. Let's put it into practice what the Lord has told us to do. I think much of the advancement of the kingdom of God and the church today, the reason that it appears to be impeded at times is because God's people aren't praying. Do you think that we can do this in our power? Do you think that we can remain faithful to the Lord in our power? Do you think that we can do anything for the glory of God in our power? If you're thinking that, you're wrong. Anytime that we attempt to do anything in our power, it is for our self-glory, not God's. And also, there will be many times that we fail. Well, let's move on in this text. You must not be like the hypocrites, he says. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners. So he said, hey, you're to pray publicly and privately, but listen to me carefully. You're not to be like the hypocrites. You're not to be like the Pharisees who are only praying to be seen by men. You are to, what does he say when he comes down there? Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to who? Your Father who is in secret. And I know this next point, all of you are looking at it and you're saying, the dude must have been half asleep. Who else would we pray to than God? But Jesus is saying, you need to pray to the Father. You need to pray to God, not to others. Do you realize that many times, and it can sound this way, and it can appear this way, that when we pray publicly, it does sound like we're delivering a sermon to the people, that we're actually speaking to you. We're not talking to God. Are you tracking me here? We need to come into the presence of God, and we can have private communication with God even in a public setting. K. Arthur says, public prayer can be private communication if our hearts are united. If we are aware that we have come into the presence of God and are actually praying and worshiping Him as a body. Yet we must always remember to whom we are speaking. Genuine prayer is for God, not other people. So the pastoral prayer, even though I'm leading you in prayer, my communication and your communication must be with God. That is who we are praying to, not to be seen by others, and we're not praying to someone else, we're praying to God. But how many of us can say the last time that we prayed that we actually came into the presence of God? Reuben Torrey says we should never utter one syllable of prayer, either in public or in private, until we are definitely conscious that we have come into the presence of God and are actually praying to Him. Self-centered prayers often mark the majority of our prayers, focused on self, not on God. I'm not saying you're not to make supplications for yourself. You're not to pray for yourself. But you do realize that there are other elements of prayer, right? Where you give adoration to God, praise to God for who He is. Where you begin to intercede on behalf of others, including not just individuals, but a nation. But I got to ask you, when was the last time you prayed and knew you were in the presence of God? Have you ever experienced the presence of God in prayer? Are you praying to others? Are you praying to self? Or are you approaching the throne of grace and mercy of the God of the universe? He says here, as you come and pray to me, the Father, in secret, I will reward you. And then he goes on and says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Pagans like to repeat the same thing over and over, the same words, the names of their gods, without ever thinking. Jesus is prohibiting mindless, repetitious, mechanical prayers. Not the earnest repetition that flows from an imploring heart, but that which is just mechanical. Maybe it is memorized and it is not actually a prayer where you're using your mind. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what memorized prayers are? We do them as children, but even as adults, we can say the same memorized prayer over and over again, whether it's private or public. Now, I am not here to criticize anyone's prayer publicly. I'm just giving you the information that is in the text. Because a sincere heart is what the Lord will hear. But you know, as a child, you had the prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep." You know, there's different versions now, which evidences the softness of our culture. Because when I said this prayer as a child, "I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." My age group and older children, we went to sleep thinking that we could die during the night. All right? That'll toughen you up as a kid. All right? That goes ahead and teaches you. Gwen, when she was little, prayed, "God, please don't kill us." All right? That is proper theology, folks. All right? So, there's another, another form of this prayer. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Guide me, Jesus, through the night and wake me with the morning light." That's a sweet prayer. Nothing about death and you needing God in your life. All right? But we do have these memorized prayers. We can say things repetitiously or with repetition with no thinking. I think of the prophets of Baal. Remember that on Mount Carmel with Elijah? They keep calling out to Baal. They're dancing and flinging themselves and limping around, sort of like what I would be doing if I tried to dance in front of you. They were crying out, "Oh, Baal, answer us." And he did not. This is what Jesus is talking about here. We need to use our minds when we pray. And you have a mind. I know that you may think that you have lost it. And you don't remember as much as you did at one point. I get you, got you, know where you're at. You still have a mind. You can think when you pray. This is something that we discuss at home. Because you can just, when we pray together in the evening, we can all just get into praying just the same prayer that we pray every night. You know, "Lord, thank you for this good day. Give us another good day." And then we break out into Don Williams. You know, "Oh, Lord, let this day be good." I don't know. Let's think about others when we pray. Let's think about how we can intercede on behalf of the church. Vacation Bible School has been the big topic this week. We need to use our minds. Well, one of the best ways that we can use our minds, do you want to know how? The Word of God. It allows us not to pray using empty phrases. We can actually pray the will of God. I want you to think about Colossians 1, 9 through 11. If you want to turn with me there, you can. Have you ever thought about praying God's Word? First of all, God's Word will help you if you'll read it before you pray to get you into the presence of God. But while you pray, you can actually pray God's Word. You can paraphrase it. You can apply it to other people's lives. Verse 9, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." All right, Paul's praying for the Colossians. asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You do realize that you can pray for me. You can pray and say, Lord, I pray that the pastor will be filled with the knowledge of your will and have all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Pray that for me. Pray that I will walk, verse 10, in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Do you know that if you pray that, you can know that you are praying the will of God? You don't have to make up words. You don't have to make up prayers. You can pray what God has given to you. That's a good place to begin. You can go to www.matthewhenry.org. And it'll go through different types of prayers that you can pray, all right, from a biblical perspective. Prayer is to have meaning. It's not to be haphazard or confusing or full of just empty phrases. It is past church father St. Augustine who said it was your Lord who put an end to long-windedness so that you would not pray as if you wanted to teach God by your many words. Piety, not verbiage, is in order when you pray, since he knows your needs. Now someone perhaps will say, but if he knows our needs, why should we say to our requests even in a few words? Why should we pray at all? Since he knows, let him give what he deems necessary for us. Even so, St. Augustine said, he wants you to pray so that he may confer his gifts on one who really desires them and will not regard them lightly. Prayer is a means to an end. God has ordained prayer to accomplish his kingdom purposes. Are you following me here? God knows what we need even before we ask, but to get to the end, to bring about all things, as we read in the book of Revelation, what are we to do? We are to pray. That is a means to accomplish his will. He has ordained it that way. So we are to pray trusting in God. Now, how many times do we pray and we really don't trust in God? We don't have faith that he can do what he says he can do. And you do realize that without faith, we are not pleasing to God. Hebrews 11:6. But Jesus says here, he knows what we need even before we ask. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now see, to me that brings comfort, because the Lord knows I have struggled praying at times, knowing how to pray, and the Spirit's having to intercede for me. But he knows what I need even before I ask. Praise be to God that he does. That shows you the sovereign God that he is, that is full of grace and mercy. We're not praying to Baal. We're not praying to a God formed by hands. We are praying to the one true God who answers. He not only sees us, he hears us. But oftentimes we just approach him in a manner by which we demonstrate through even our words that we don't trust him. Maybe we don't go to him in prayer because we don't trust him. We don't have faith in him. Usually God uses some climactic event in our life to teach us how we need to pray. Oh, if we would only pray that earnestly all the time. You want to talk about some people praying when you pull a two-year-old up out of a well, alternate septic tank, as I've shared with you before, who has drowned and you are giving CPR to. You want to know? Hey, you want to hear some people pray? That boy's alive today and is doing well. You want to learn how to pray? Have the doctor look at you at midnight and say, we've done all we can do for your wife after the birth of Owen. We don't know what else to do. I could see it on his face. They had put her in, the cardiac care unit. They had her in intensive care. You want to talk about people praying? There was a waiting room full of prayer. Oh, if we would only pray that earnestly all the time. Do you know when we are in the most danger spiritually? Is when we're on the mountaintop. We think, hey, man, everything's going good. Looking good, feeling good, doing good. Notice what Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer at the very beginning. We don't serve a fictitious God. We serve a sovereign God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We are praying to a real God. Not one that is speechless. He has spoken. He is not lifeless. He is the origin of life. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This statement teaches that God is high above and yet personal. When you pray, you come into the presence of God who knows what He is doing. He knows what He's doing. We're gonna pray. I hope as a church that we can prevent a rezoning that would allow a distillery on this road or any type of manufacturing on this road. If God allows it to come in, does that mean that God's not all powerful? No. He knows what He's doing. We need to trust in that God. And He doesn't give us everything we ask because it's not what's best for us. Because sometimes we don't know what we're even asking for. We may think it's a good thing when it is not. We need to trust our Father that He knows best. And I hope that you don't apply the name Father from an earthly context to the Heavenly Father in a way that would prevent you from understanding who God is. Some of you may have had some not good earthly fathers. And the term father is just hard for you to see God the Father as being different. Well, I am telling you, God the Father is totally different. He will not fail you. He loves you. He created you. He knew you in the womb of your mother. He has brought you this far. He will take you home. Trust in Him. Have faith in Him. The descendants of Gad in 1 Chronicles 5 surely did. They were in battle, going to war against the Hagrites and all who were with them. And it says in verse 20, of 1 Chronicles 5, that they cried out to God in the battle, and He granted their urgent plea. Why? Because they trusted in Him. You remember in the parables, in the Gospels, it talks about Jesus going and being in a certain area, and there were no miracles performed there because the people did not have faith. It didn't mean that prevented Jesus from doing that, because Jesus can do whatever He desires. But you do realize that God grants the urgent pleas of those who trust in Him. May not be the way you think it ought to be answered. But listen, do we believe God's holy and just and perfect and good? So I say as I close, we need to pray trusting God. We need to pray privately. We need to pray publicly. We need to pray to God and not some form of repetition or an exercise or being mechanical. We don't need to use empty phrases. We need to pray the will of God. He is telling you what to do. Okay, I know some of you, are you with me? Are you out there? He's telling you how to do it. So don't go home today saying, man, I know this spiritual stuff, but how am I supposed to do it? deaf ears lead to a deaf church or a dead church. Deaf ears lead to a dead church. How do you pray? You pray to God. You don't pray to others. Use your mind. Pray the Word of God. Pray trusting God. I hope over the next several weeks, and I do believe that we have people who pray in this church, but I hope we have a revival of prayer. A revival of prayer. I hope you're praying for our Vacation Bible School and for children and families to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If not, start praying it now. Put it into practice. But let us, with one mind and one spirit, go to the Lord in prayer as we close this morning. Let us pray. Oh Lord, may you teach us how to pray. May we pray in faith, trusting in you. Lord, enable us to use our minds to think as we are talking to you. Oh Lord, may we see that private prayer is just is our engine. Lord, it is our source of power. In order to live this life in faith, trusting in you for your glory. May the church see the necessity of prayer. May there be a revival of prayer. Lord, you can do that by your Spirit. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us for thinking that we can live this Christian life or live life even as an unbeliever in our own power. Lord, you're the source of all things. You're the source of physical life. You're the source of spiritual life. I'm asking you today to move in us spiritually. Oh, thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord, for your goodness, that you are trustworthy, that you are not like the false gods. You're not like Baal. You answer us. You are a God who speaks. May we not have deaf ears today. May we put into practice what you have taught us. When you pray, let it become a part of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, stand with me as we sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. You could come down, pray with me. If you won't, pray at the altar. However God leads you, you need to respond to Him. May you not have deaf ears today.